Greetings, kindred and fellow sheep. We are the God of Israel's rescues. My job is to lead you to the real teacher, the Master Jesus Christ. So what am I doing in the pulpit? I am your pedagogue for part two of this lesson, quote, after his own heart, unquote. With the fuller quote is, the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. We confirmed in part one that David is the man after God's own heart. We are reviewing the evidence of the scriptures to solve a bit of a mystery. We are asking, what was in David's heart that caused God to call him a man after his own heart? If God can do that with David, can he do that with every single one of us? We confirmed in part one that Abraham was called the friend of God because he did not withhold Isaac, his only begotten son, from sacrifice. We also confirmed that God made Moses his clear choice to lead Israel from Egypt to the land of milk and honey by speaking with him, quote, face to face, unquote. That's in Exodus 33:11 and Deuteronomy 34:10. And you can read about it when Moses' own family rebelled against him in Numbers. What do we do? Do we know why God called David a man, quote, after his own heart? Do we know now what was in David's heart? We found with David a number of references to sheep. David was the shepherd boy. God, quote, took him from the sheepfolds. Psalms chapter 78, verse 70. Are references to David and sheep somehow a clue to solving this mystery? What happens to sheep? Come on, we're all sheep. What happens to sheep? According to the psalmist David, what is the fate of sheep? Let's go to the 44th Psalm, verses 10 and 11. The book of Psalms, the 44th. What happens under God's righteous judgment? While we're looking up that verse, I'd like to thank Joe for your prayer specifically. I am so grateful to the God of Israel who has raised up people to expose what's been going on. I've never seen such exposure. I've had to get a whole new set of conspiracy theories because all my old ones came true. What happens under God's righteous judgment? We have a custom here that at certain times when we read God's word, we stand in honor of his word. May we do so now. Let us please stand together as a body of believers united, and let us share these scriptures in the 44th Psalm. Classmates, you are my classmates in God's classroom. Would you please respond with verse number 11 and let me read verse 10 first. We're in Psalms, the 44th, and I'm reading to you verse number 10. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us plunder for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thank you, classmates. Please be seated. Do those who hate Americans plunder us? Are we being scattered among the heathen, pouring like floods over the southern border? Do they that hate us rule over us with rigor? Is our destiny the same as sheep? Look at verses 22 and 23 in Psalms chapter 44. Classmate, would you read verse 22 and would you let me respond with verse 23? You read verse. You read first verse 22. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Look at verse 22, quote, we are killed all the day long. Somewhere every day on the surface of the earth, there is a sheep being slaughtered. And it's more than one. What is this fallen world's attitude toward two-legged sheep? Deplorables? Useless eaters? Many of you have heard that one. No home on the range for these despised, stinking sheep. Walmart blobular mortality. Disgust on the hoof. According to the 44th Psalm, is all this anything but new? Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 4. This is the last thing that Solomon composed that's in our scriptures before he died. He apparently repented of his excesses, especially of his sins. He finally had his fill of strange women, outlandish women who caused even him, the wisest man on earth, to sin. Is the power of life and death in the tongue of a king? How did Nathan the prophet survive telling King David he committed adultery with Uriah's wife and killed him with the sword of the Ammonites? How did Nathan do that? Let us read together out of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 in unison, verse number 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? If you were a prophet, and the Lord sent you to tell a king he is an adulterer and murderer, how would you handle that? What would you do if you drew that assignment from God? What did Nathan do? We're in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Let's look at the first four verses. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Classmates, would you let me read the odd-numbered verses? Would you respond, please, with the even-numbered verses? We're in 2 Samuel chapter 12. I read first verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor, had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Excellent reading. You guys sound like you're in unity on that. Thank you. Quote, the rich man took the poor man's lamb. What did Nathan the prophet just do? How did Nathan approach the king? What was it about David? Do a little out of discretion, Jeff. What was it about David to which Nathan was appealing? Did Nathan appeal to what was in David's heart? How do we get to know another man's heart? Did Nathan's appeal work? Let us read together in unison verse number 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die." What made King David so angry? Did David the shepherd boy ever have a pet? Was the shepherd boy's pet a lamb? How did he get on with his oldest brothers? When he went at his father's order, his father Jesse, to bring his three brothers provisions for their warfare with the Philistines as part of King Saul's army, what did the brothers accuse him of? "Oh, he just come out here to watch the battle. You left those sheep all to themselves. Nobody there to tend them." What was David's answer? Read it. Did his older brother sacrifice his pet lamb as a joke? Ooh. What was in David's heart? Did King David still have a shepherd's heart? Did King David still have that shepherd's heart while he was in unrepentant sin? How many of us have been there? Did the prophet Nathan succeed in confronting the king with his adulteration of Uriah's marriage and Uriah's murder by the sword of the Ammonites? Was the prophet Nathan a successful instrument of the God of Israel to bring the earthly king of Israel face to face with his own iniquities? Did the prophet trick the king into condemning himself? Psalms, the 51st. Back to the book of Psalms. The 51st Psalm. What is the Hebrew inscription prefacing the 51st Psalm? For those of you following this study in your own swords, and I recommend you do, because if you follow this message with your own sword, you're right there with your sword to wage spiritual warfare when you meet with kindred. Please look up to the screen so we may recite that Hebrew inscription in English in unity. When I mention the number of the psalm again, we will do this. Psalms, the 51st. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Quote, "Have mercy upon me, O God." Unquote. Look at verse 17. "Have countless believers, upon confronting their own iniquities to their face, recited this psalm with, quote, the sacrifices of God, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart." This is so important, I think we should stand again. Would that be all right? That we stand for the reading of God's word. We're in Psalms chapter 51. Let us read this verse, verse 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Is that a request for rescue? Thank you, brothers and sisters. Please be seated. Can the great I Am God deny, quote unquote, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart? Can the great I Am God deny one of his own, one of his children? Can the Lord deny himself? Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17. This will be a familiar scripture to many of us. Verses 9 and 10. How could David, the one man in the scriptures to be called of God, a man after his own heart, quote unquote, possibly commit adultery and murder? We're looking in Jeremiah chapter 17 at verses 9 and 10. Classmates, please respond with verse 10. I will read verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. If you catch me in sin, what will you do? Will you let sin rest upon me? Or will you take me aside privately and hold me, your brother, accountable? What if I don't take that well? How will you handle that? When David, the sheep of God, lived on earth, when he lived in the fallen body, was his heart always, quote, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it, unquote? How difficult is it to always make our choices according to God's heart? Is our record in heaven? How pure is our record in heaven? All our lusts, are they lawful? When I was married to Maggie, I lusted after her. It was a lawful lust. Sometimes she'd do the same for me. God bless her. Did King David act on an unlawful lust? Did he act out of a deceitful and desperately wicked heart? Are we as vulnerable as any king? Are we, the sheep of God, prone to sin as much or more than David was? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The first of Paul's epistles to the Corinthian churches. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We'll be looking at verse number 12. In these fallen bodies, when are our hearts not, quote, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? I love the mini sermon. Thank you, Brother Dan. You showed us the two sides. It's not a multiple guess, is it? Excellent point. Well, there's two sides here, aren't there? Two sides are represented here. Let us recite together in unison out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's addressed to me. How can we ever on our own rise above our greatest enemy, our own stinking carnal nature? Do sheep smell? Is that smell called stink? How lovable are we? Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Without the unction of the Holy Spirit, are we as helpless and as weak as sheep pastured in wolf country? Out of Matthew chapter 10, may we recite together in unison verse number 16. Help me out. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Go back in Matthew to chapter 7. Look at verse 15. Do ravening wolves in sheep's clothing, quote unquote, eat sheep? Let us recite together in unison from Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 7. Let's go back to the garden, the great transgression. How unlovable are two-legged sheep? What three despicable acts did, quote-unquote, the guilty pair commit immediately after the great transgression? Who can tell me the first? Anybody? Let's read together in unison out of Genesis chapter 3, verse number 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What did they just do? What does it say, Genesis 3, 7? What did they just do? Covered their nakedness. We're still naked. That's why we wear clothes. But they did something else with that. They hid their sin. They covered their what? Did they cover their sin? How lovable is that? When I am asleep at night, am I sinning? You know, all the sin of the world goes down in half the world when it's at nighttime. Except for those that work nights and those who party at night and sleep during the day. But there is a noticeable reduction in sin, in sinning. Does it all go away? Am I free from all sin when I'm asleep? What would that be like? To be free from all sin. Can I ever know that in this flesh? Is our nakedness sin? In the image of the earthy, is Adam an abomination unto God? Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Classmates, their second despicable act. Does this only get worse? Let me read verse 8. You respond, please, to verse 9. We're in Genesis chapter 3. I read verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, does God not know where anybody is? Come on. What's he calling their attention to? Busted! What did the guilty pair do? How despicable is hiding from God? Why did they even think they had a chance of doing it? That's an interesting Bible study. They hid themselves where? Amongst the trees of the garden. Why did they think that would work? They thought it would work. That's an interesting Bible study. Somebody bring that someday. It's fascinating. I don't have time. We've got to mush on. If we were the guilty pair, would we have done any differently? Or as Pastor Dan would say, think about it. What do the guilty pair deserve? What is the wages of sin? Is where are you? The first recorded extension of loving kindness and mercy into a now fallen world with heaven and earth separated instead of in unity. Remember the last verse of This Is My Father's World? Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seem also strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not yet done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven become what? One. Thank you. You remember a great hymn. Genesis chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Did Adam have a good confession? Let me read verse 10. Would you please respond, classmates, with verse number 11. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Busted! God is speaking directly to Adam, the head of the house. Did Adam the husbandman commit a third despicable act? Let us read together in unison, verse number 12. And the man said, "The woman which thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Where did Adam get the forbidden fruit? Did he get it from the tree? No. He got it from her. What do you think she was saying when she offered it to him? Another interesting Bible study. Bring that one, somebody. Blame shifting. How despicable. How unlovable to do that. Did the husband woman do any differently? Let us read together in unison, verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Blame shifting. How despicable. How unlovable to do that. This is not pretty. Is this how we are? Is this what we are like? Do we cover our sins? Do we hide from God? Isn't that what churchianity is all about? Hiding from God? Do we shift blame to others? Judge not that ye should not be judged. Even people who refuse to read the Bible know that verse. How lovable are we doing these things? No wonder the end-time prophet Jeremiah said, quote, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it," unquote. How utterly disgusting are two-legged sheep? Who trained our children to do these things? At what age is it appropriate to teach our children to cover their sins, to hide from God, and to shift blame to others? If we did not train our children to do these acts, then how did they know to do them? Do they do these things by inheritance? Do our desperately wicked hearts seek to do our will, our pleasure, instead of God's will, God's pleasure? Does every man do that which is right in his own eyes? I did it my way. Is it my natural inclination to do it my way instead of God's way? Does the world worship the song, "I did it my way"? Try preaching that in some bar. Walter, picking on a great song, that's unjust. That is not what that song is all about. When we think we could do any better than the guilty pair, is there something frighteningly wrong with us? Are we frighteningly unable to say, "I am wrong. Jesus is right"? Did David, king of Israel, say, "I am wrong. The great I am God is right"? Psalms the 51st. Let's go back. Did he? Look at verses 3 and 4. Classmates, you read verse 3 and I'll respond with verse 4. We're in Psalms chapter 51. You read first verse 3. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be found just when thou speakest, and be blameless when thou judgest." Do you think David is giving honor and glory to God's name, his reputation, his character? Did David, the one-time shepherd boy, take full responsibility for what he chose to do? Did David cover his sin in the murder of Uriah by the sword of the Ammonites? Did David shift blame for what he did? Did David hide from God? Or did he seek God with, quote, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, verse 17? Did David trust God with these sacrifices? Though our sins be washed whiter than snow, do the consequences of our iniquities remain? OPC is said to be the bane of family life. OPC? Other people's choices. Choice is what America is all about, or used to be. Now it's mandates. How well did we do with choice when we had it? Did we make choices thinking they were ours to make and have no concept of our choices' impact on others? Did David's evil bring a sword into his household that remained for the rest of his life? Did Nathan tell David, quote, thou art the man? Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. You may not have seen these scriptures in quite this way. I don't want you to miss this. 2 Samuel chapter 12. For verses 9 and 10, let me read verse 9. Would you respond with verse number 10? We're in 2 Samuel 12, I'm reading verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Scroll down to verse 13. Did David make a good confession to both God and man? Let us read together out of 2 Samuel chapter 12 in unison, verse number 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Did Uriah the Hittite die? This one hurt and hurt bad. But David is not going to die. Why? Can we name two men of the Bible who committed murder and were not executed for shedding the blood of Adam? Who was the other? May I respectfully disagree? And I'd love to talk with you about it at fellowship dinner. The book of Jasher gives a few more details about the man Moses killed. He was killing a Hebrew slave. He interrupted a felony in commission and was forced to dispatch the guy in order to keep him from his wicked purpose, the Egyptian slave master. Book of Jasher will tell you that the Egyptian slave master had already raped this guy's wife and stolen his goods. Anybody vote for law enforcement here? And by the way, how much of a sheep was this Hebrew slave that Moses rescued? Did he rat out Moses for what he did? Oh, geez. What a world we live in. What sheep we are. Oh, God help us. Who was the other? Cain is correct. Why was he not executed according to law? I pose a question. Was it because of higher law? Was that the same reason that King David was spared and forgiven of his sins and not executed for murder? There's plenty of murderers that have confessed their sin repented of it, and still been executed, and the evil was removed from our midst in accordance with God's law. Interesting, isn't it? Bring a Bible study on that sometime, somebody. If God can forgive David, can he forgive us? Words fail me to tell you how much the 51st Psalm means to me. And to have the sure knowledge that I will not face that documentary movie when I appear before the judgment seat of Christ. My sins are forgiven and my iniquities are put as far away from me as the east is from the west. To whom much is forgiven, much is expected. How much is expected from each and every one of us? Our subject matter is the heart of David. Can we see that David in this life took responsibility for everything he did, including the matter of Uriah's wife? David attempted to cover his sin by murdering Bathsheba's husband. Did Nathan trick David into condemning himself? Did David hide from God? Yeah. Did David make confession? Yes. Did David seek God with the sacrifices of a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart? Did David blame no one but himself? Are two-legged sheep damaged goods? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 65. We'll look at verse 5. This is the next to the last chapter in the book of the end time prophet, Isaiah. How wretched is it to be sheep surviving in wolf country? How much worse can it get if the flock paints us as black sheep and thrusts us out from the fold into wolf country? Does the counterfeit church always persecute the genuine remnant? Let us read out of Isaiah chapter 65 in unison, verse number 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. My God, when's the last time we've read that verse? Harrison, the Holy Spirit's moving with you, brother. You ready for this lesson? Yeah. There are people sitting right here, right now. And there are people within the sound of my voice, or will be within the sound of my voice, who have better credentials as Christians than I do. I've only been thrown out of one synagogue. Many of you have been thrown out of more than one. I did get thrown out of the biggest one, the Federal Reserve Income Tax Synagogue. I got ushered out. They made me walk the plank off the good ship Indiana, and the dummies left the other end on dry land. Hello, Jeff. Fellowship dinner is a great place. Thrust out from the fold. Is the Bible full of the stories of men and women hated, despised, pursued, tortured, and martyred? Were the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence furiously pursued by King George's redcoats? Though many of them perished or had their living murdered, did they keep the American covenant of perpetual union? Hello? 2 Samuel chapter 24. This is an important scripture. Stay with me. 2 Samuel 24. We're close to the end there. Verses 1 and 2. Toward the end of David's life, there appeared some trouble from two-legged sheep. Classmates, let me take verse 1 We're in 2 Samuel 24, and would you please respond with verse number 2? This sets the situation. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, "Go, number Israel and Judah." For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, "Go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people." Let's go to 1 Chronicles 21, verses 1 and 2. This record begins differently from the record in 2 Samuel 24. Let's do the first two verses of 1 Chronicles chapter 21 the same way we did the first two verses of 2 Samuel chapter 24. Let me read verse 1. Please follow with verse number 2 in response. "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, 'Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it.'" For any that might be unfamiliar with David's numbering of Israel outside of God's commandment, these two verses are often used as an exercise to explain Bible hermeneutics, the harmony of the scriptures. Do both scriptures harmonize? To save time, I leave you with two questions. Does the serpent have the right to interfere in the garden? Does the God of our fathers have the right to intervene in the affairs of Adam? And do both scriptures accurately describe two separate occasions, the controversy playing out over time? Is each Bible scripture in harmony with every other? Isn't that one of the laws of Bible study? The harmony of the scriptures. Some of us will remember that David's captain Joab tried to talk David out of numbering Israel, saying, quote, "But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing," unquote, and saying, "Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of guilt to Israel?" Both the scriptures report that the king's word prevailed against Joab and the captains of the host. Joab, his heart not in this, did not count Levi and Benjamin, quote, "For the king's word was abominable to Joab," unquote. The numbering took 9 months and 20 days. David's heart smote him. He said unto the Lord, quote, "I have sinned greatly in what that I have done. And now I beseech thee, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." The Lord sent Gad, David's seer, to offer David three things. Quote, "Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee," unquote. Number one, 7 years famine unto thee in thy land. Number two, 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes while their sword overtaketh thee. Or else three, 3 days the pestilence in the land, even the Lord's sword. Remember that, even the Lord's sword. In the 80s, I was one of a long list of people in Indiana who, according to the Attorney General, were thinking and functioning, quote unquote, outside the box. Most of the others were charged criminally, but my prosecution was civil. In my circumstance, the circuit court judge had attempted to see me for help, and he was witness that the allegations against me were not true. My notification to the court resulted in the judge's automatic recusal. He has never forgiven me for that. Three judges from courts in other counties were impaneled, and the state and I were told we had a choice of which of the three to strike. The one left standing tried the case. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 21:13. We're in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Look at verse 13. Instead of choosing one, David struck one of the three choices, one of the three judgments. We struck one of the three judges. David struck one of the three judgments. Let us read together in unison out of 1 Chronicles 21, verse number 13. "And David said unto Gad, 'I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of Adam.'" The Lord also struck one choice. Mark these verses, 1 Chronicles 21, 13 and 14. We shall return. Let us read together in unison verse number 14. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. If 70,000 people died of COVID, quote unquote died of COVID, was that a big deal? It was a lot less than that that was a big deal. And they called it a pandemic. Gives new meaning to the theory of relativity, doesn't it? As the angel of the Lord was destroying Jerusalem, God repented of the evil he did to Jerusalem and stayed the angel's hand. The angel stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. David saw the angel, a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. Look at verse 17. David and the elders of Israel in sackcloth fell on their faces. Let us read together in unison out of 1 Chronicles 21:17. And David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Did David understand fully what God was doing through him? Did he understand that God had used Satan to move him to number Israel in order to judge his people? The Commonwealth of Israel was nearing 40 years of its golden age as a theocracy. The 80 years of David and Solomon's reigns are the golden age of Israel. Even in the golden age, God found it necessary to judge his people. Why is that? Who among us has never flunked the test of prosperity? In prosperity, do we forget we are sheep? Is it our common failing? Are we that stupid? Do we ruin it every time? Does 1 Chronicles 21:17 give us special insight to what was in David's heart? Yo, Daddy God, I sinned. Quote, but as for these sheep, what have they done? Unquote. I and my family should be the one that is punished. Who does that? Can you name me somebody else in Scripture that did that? Anybody? Can you name me one other in Scripture that did that? For sure. What did Jesus say about, if you don't believe him, you can't believe me? Moses. Did Moses say, blot my name out of the book of life, out of your book, but spare these because you promised. Don't let the world see that you can't deliver. How much did Moses and David care for the sacred name of Jesus Christ the righteous, known as the great I Am God of Israel? The angel ordered Gad, David's seer, to command David to build an altar on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Ornan also saw the angel with sword drawn, extended over Jerusalem. He and his four sons were hiding themselves. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, look at verse 26. David would not accept Ornan's gift, but bought Ornan's threshing floor for 600 shekels of gold by weight, the full purchase price, no discounts. Let us read together in unison 1 Chronicles 21:26. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. You know, I did that today and fire came down from heaven. What would we think? The angel of the pestilence returned the sword to its sheath. The threshing floor of Ornan became the site for Solomon's temple. Was this place called Mount Moriah in Abraham's day, where he was willing to sacrifice Isaac, his only begotten son? Somebody bring a Bible study on that, huh? Oh, there's so much to talk about. How do you do it in 45 minutes? God help me. What was in David's heart that caused God to call him a man, quote, after his own heart? May I hear from each of you. To be continued, God willing, on the next occasion.